You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Hello, comrades. This is your host of the Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm here today. We're gonna make it together. We're here in the middle of the week. We're in Wednesday, but the weekend is within sight. So it's so great to be able to have you guys with me today. And joining me is my good friend and my co-host, Sven Longshanks. Sven, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. We've had a few problems with the players on the site today, but we've got them fixed, so people should be able to listen to the radio again. Nothing compared to the problems that Jez Turner seems to have been having just recently. I got an email from him today, and it seems the campaign against anti-Semitism are going after him once again. And this all stems back to a speech that he gave almost 2 years ago at the anti-Shomrim demonstration, which was set up by Joshua Bonehill. Joshua Bonehill was then told that he couldn't go anywhere near London as part of his bail conditions. And Jez was there, and he gave a really, really good speech, speaking out against this Jewish Shomrim, this vigilante group that dress up as police, pretending to be the British police, when they're not. They're just Jews looking out for looking out to protect the Jews, basically, which would be fine in Israel. And it would be fine if we were allowed to have a British police that just protected the British people. But it's not. They dress up as police, which is against the law, and they're just looking out for the Jews, basically. So he spoke out about this at this demonstration. It was widely publicized, the demonstration was. There wasn't that many people there. There wasn't that many nationalists there. But there must have been about 1,000 Jews there and other assorted Jewish sycophants. And they were all screaming and baying for his head and shouting, arrest him, police, arrest him. And just really, really, really hateful against him. And he spoke about the fact that there were so many Jews in government, how there had been a Jewish influence in the French Revolution, in the British Revolution, the Jewish influence in the two world wars, and basically pointing out uncomfortable facts for Jews. And they made such a fuss about this, they demanded that he be arrested. The police took a look at the copy of his speech. They had a look at the transcript. They sent it to the Crown Prosecution Service. And the Crown Prosecution Service said, well, he hasn't got anything to answer to here. We don't believe that he's broken any hate speech laws. And this is free speech. So he wasn't charged with that. Now, because he wasn't charged with that, this has really infuriated the campaign against anti-Semitism, particularly this Gideon Falker character who runs a campaign against anti-Semitism. So ever since then, this pressure group, this Jewish group, basically, that just goes after people that criticize Jews, they get lots and lots of donations so they can afford lots of lawyers, lots of people to work for them. And according to their own site, they've spent hundreds of man hours with so many people working on pressuring the Crown Prosecution Service to look at this decision again, trying to take out private prosecutions against Alison Chablow, and also they were going to try and take out a private prosecution against Jez. So they pressured the Crown Prosecution Service so much that the Crown Prosecution Service has said that they will review this decision. Not that the decision was wrong, but they're actually going to review this decision. And part of this, I mean, this is from the campaign against anti-Semitism, their own words. This Gideon Falter, he went complaining to the police saying he needed the victim's right to review. And he was told that he is not a victim and he had no victim's rights. Now, the whole point of this so-called hate speech law, is supposed to be inciting racial hatred, leading to threats against a person's well-being. Well, Jez was outnumbered 1,000 to 1. The only victim here was Jez. He had to have a police cordon around him to protect him from these Jews who literally would have had him hanging from a lamppost if they were able to get at him. And yet, they think that he is the one that should be prosecuted for hate speech, and they are claiming that they are victims. Now, I think this is the reason why the Crown Prosecution Service decided that they couldn't possibly take this case to court, because there's no way that these Jews were victims. I mean, the threat of violence was against Jerzy's person himself. But it's been in the Guardian today, it's been in the Independent, and also in the Jewish media. They're all really crowing and trumpeting about this, and Jez Turner's going to get prosecuted, and all thanks to our wonderful charity pressure group campaign against anti-Semitism. But all the Crown Prosecution Service have said is that they are going to look at it again, whether they made the right decision. They haven't said that they're actually going to prosecute him. But if they do prosecute him, if he does get a chance to have his day in court, then they are really not going to know what's hit them, because he's just going to come out with all these facts, and the jury are going to hear all these facts, and there's no way that a jury is going to prosecute him for hate speech. Because all he's doing is speaking for the British people. All he's doing is being patriotic, and anyone in that jury, they are not going to be aware of these facts. They're not going to know the percentage of Jews in government, the percentage of Jews in banking, the Jews that were behind the French Revolution, the Jews that were behind the war, the Jews that are behind communism. I mean, they really do not want this to be heard in a court, because of course then it will all be written down and transcribed, and it will be available on the court transcripts. So when they arrest someone like this, they try to get them to admit that they've been caught in giving out hate speech, and they'll accept a caution and what have you, and just plead guilty. But there's no way that Jez will do that, because this hate speech law is a nonsense. It's just used to try and silence people that speak up against foreigners and what the foreigners are doing to our country. So Jez has been hounded by this group at the moment, and his name is in the paper again. But as I say, he's in good spirits, and he says that if it does go to court, then he'll give them a show trial like they have never seen before. So our best wishes go to Jez at the moment, and we thought listeners would probably like to hear that and send their support to him and tell him well done if they meet up with him, if they see him at the London Forum or whatever. Jez is doing a lot of hard work for us. In fact, I think he's possibly the hardest working British fascist that we have.
Well, and you know, Sven, it's one of those things that to understand what the enemy gets upset about. You can have, you know, kosher nationalist groups like the English Defense League marching in the streets and, of course, you know, being drunk at half the rallies and doing all sorts of things against the Muslims, against the Muslims, against the Muslims. But that doesn't really bother the system. That doesn't really scare the elites. That doesn't get the same sort of response. Now, if you just look in the past year about the attacks on British nationalists, who are the two groups that have been attacked the most? So we see the attacks on the London Forum, but then also, of course, what happened to National Action. And we know that when you're calling out the real enemies, because if you don't like the demographic changes that are going on inside the United Kingdom, well, you know, you don't need to be mad at the Pakistani who showed up. Be mad at the politician. Be mad at the banker. Be mad at the person that brought him and 1,000 of his cousins over just last week. I mean, it really is the power structure that's controlled by Jewish power, but controlled by Jewish money, controlled by the Jewish media. That's the one that brings these people here, that covers up what happened in Rotherham. You know, if when the reports have been made with these Rotherham rape gangs that were happening, these child grooming gangs, if as soon as a report had hit the desk of one of the police officers and then the political establishment hadn't squashed that, what would have happened would have been tragic, but it would have been cut off, you know, right there at the knee. It never would have been allowed to get as bad as it is. But the Jewish system wants to protect their dream of multiculturalism. They want to protect the you know, the people from the truth, because the truth is the average person doesn't want these people here, doesn't want to be a minority in their own country, and doesn't like the fact that there are crimes being done against their citizens. So there's this conspiracy, there's no other word to use, this conspiracy amongst the Jewish oligarchs and their Gentile collaborators to hide the truth, to be able to allow a double-tiered system when it comes to legality. As you mentioned, there is no way for British patriots to be able to have a similar thing to the Shamram police in their own communities. Of course, many of the you know, the synagogues in the UK and other Jewish areas get taxpayer-funded guards and get all sorts of grants. And of course, here in the United States, they're talking about, of course, one of the cemeteries that was allegedly vandalized. They've now come out and said, well, it just wasn't repaired. This is what happens when you don't repair any of the gravestones or any of the grounds, and a lot of these headstones have just fallen over naturally, and it wasn't vandalism. That doesn't stop the fact that it hit the news cycle. That part never makes it outside of usually local news. And of course, they're begging for up to $50 million for Jewish organizations in America to be able to get armed guards, to be able to get things, you know, get more handouts from the white population, just like in the UK. But I think it's a very important thing for us to realize that what Jez Turner is doing, of course, what National Action was doing and other British patriots are doing, they will let you complain about the symptoms. The system has no problem if you complain about the symptoms. But if you go after the cause, if you go after the tumor, that is what really makes them upset. When you go after the Jews, that's when they absolutely lose their minds, because it's the Jews are the ones that are pulling the strings and their Gentile collaborators. They don't care. You know, you can be angry, and that's why groups like the English Defense League were allowed to do what they were doing, but they never got clamped down on anywhere near, anywhere even close to what National Action faced, of course, being banned as one of the first nationalist organizations banned since Sir Oswald Mosley and the British Union of Fascists, that, of course, were trying to keep Britain out of World War II. We're trying to actually put the British people first and be able to make Britain great again. But that goes to show, of course, they opposed the war that was being done, the imperialism of the Jews, the Jewish banking system, the political corruption of the elites. And that's why the BUF was banned, just like why National Action was banned, because they were going after the source of these problems. They love, you know, it's just like here in the United States, where a lot of conservatives will talk about illegal immigration and legal immigration and things like that. But we're never able to go after the people that are bringing them here, the multinational corporations that want millions and millions of cheap third world laborers, against the people that you know, really disarm our people and are attacking us in the media, attacking us throughout the culture. So you know, when you focus on the power structure, that is what worries the system. So, of course, my thoughts and prayers go out to Jez. I encourage all of our comrades to support him in what they're doing, because Jez is being attacked because he was going after the clear double standard in our society. He was going after those that are the ones with actual power, the ones that are behind the demographic attacks that we're facing, the ones that are actually waging this war against our people. You know, they are the commissars. The third worlders that they bring in are the conscripts on the Eastern Front, the people they just gang up and then send in waves against us. But it's the commissars that are the real ones, the ones that, you know, have the ideological training and have the talking points and have the position, and of course have the position of privilege. If you want to talk about privilege in Western civilization, there is no group more privileged than the Jews. That cannot be disputed. We could go on whether it's economics, we could go there socially, their overrepresentation in the media, the United States and our Supreme Court, in Congress, in lobbyists. They are the power structure. They are the power structure that we're at war at. And when you declare war on that system to fight against them, to raise up awareness, to be able to educate the people and organize and mobilize them against the people that are actually attacking our folk, that is when you're attacked. So we need to stand with Jez Turner in solidarity with him. Now, speaking of solidarity with nationalists that are doing great things around the world, I wanted to bring up just a quick story I thought was really interesting. That Beauty and the Beast, of course, here in the United States, it's being pushed as, oh, the next great big Disney movie. It's going to be a live-action version of the classic cartoon that many millennials, myself included, grew up with. But now there's an openly gay character. Gaston's sidekick, LeFou, is a gay character in this. Instead of just looking up to Gaston, he actually loves Gaston, and there's going to be the first explicitly gay scene within a live action Disney movie. So this just goes to show how things have radically changed over the past few decades. Now, what I think is interesting, of course, here in the United States, there are some movie theaters that are family owned that are not going to be showing the movie due to their Christian values, and three cheers for them. But in the Russian Federation, they have just given the classification for the film of adults only, because there's, of course, a law on the books in Russia that there cannot be any propaganda for homosexuality aimed at children. So even if it's a so-called children's movie, if it's promoting and normalizing homosexuality, it cannot be shown to children. And that is such a great step. If we could do that in the West, things would radically change, because we know how many shows, how much content is put out by the mass media to promote homosexuality, to promote 9-year-olds getting on hormone blockers and mutilating themselves and all of these sorts of degenerate things. But in the Russian Federation, they've taken a stand against this. And even when they just try and slip in one character and apparently one, you know, particularly gay scene, that they say, nope, you're not going to give this to our children. We're going to stand against this. So I'll turn it back over to you, Sven. But I you know, just want to say solidarity to Jez, but also solidarity with our comrades in the Russian Federation that are actually protecting their children against Western Jewish decadence.
Well, that's fantastic news. I hadn't heard that. I knew about the Disney movie, The Beauty and the Beast, and how the male character in it was going to explore his sexuality with the other male lead. Absolutely vile. How can they put that in a children's film? That's absolutely disgusting. So to hear that Russia are going to give it an adult certificate, I think is, well, that's the correct way to deal with it. I mean, that shows the rest of the world that Russia's not going to stand for that, and they don't want their children propagandized into sodomy. They don't want their children to be told that that's perfectly fine and that's normal behavior for children's heroes to indulge in. So that's a very good bit of news there, Jez. Just when you were talking there before that about Jez, and you were saying about the synagogues in America that have had that have just fallen apart basically, but they're still calling for more money and they've still got guards there. Well, we have guards at the synagogues in Britain as well, and Theresa May has pledged extra billions or millions to security for these Jews, and yet the white girls that have to go to school in these Muslim infested areas, there are no guards for them. There are no protection for them. There's no special protection outside the schools with the white girls in. They're just left there to fight their way through these Muslims to get to their parents' cars or to get home at the end of school. And we know that this problem hasn't been done away with in Rotherham. It's now even worse than it was. Nothing's been done about it. And the people that bring this up, they're still called racists. We're still called racist for saying what's going on. And the actual court system, while their courts are going to go after Jez again, or while they're going to relook at going after him just for something that he said, there's been a new advisory advice that's been given to the judges in Britain to say that any black prisoners, they have to be, the judges have to question whether they may have suffered discrimination in their lives. And if they may have suffered discrimination in their lives, the judges are supposed to give them a softer sentence. So this means that Negroes will now be given softer sentences than whites purely for being Negro. They don't have to have had a hard life. They don't have to have had family members that have been in prison. They don't have to have been brought up by the state. Just the fact that they are Negroes will mean that they get softer sentences. And the logic behind this is that because we've got more Negroes than we should have in the prisons, which any sensible person would say, well, that means that Negroes are more likely to commit crime. But according to the British government, no, it's not because Negroes are more likely to commit crime. It's because white man has been racist against them. They might have experienced discrimination in their lives. Now, critics have spoken up. They've said that this means that it's one law for one group and another law for another group, and we are no longer equal under the law. But that is basically hate speech. These critics are indulging in hate speech when they point that out, because that is criticizing an ethnic minority, saying that they are privileged more than white people, which they clearly are. But you're not allowed to say that. It's only white people that were allowed to claim a more privilege than these other minorities. So on the one hand, we've got the speech crime laws, which are just being used against white people. White people cannot criticize other minorities, particularly the Jews. And then on the other hand, we've got an official advice that's been sent out to all the judges to say that they must give softer sentences to Negroes just because they are Negroes. I don't know where we're going to be in a few years from now, Matt, if we're already at the stage where Negroes will get given softer sentences. I mean, we may very well end up where Negroes can't be sent to prison at all because there are too many of them in prison otherwise. It must just be racism that puts these Negroes in prison. Nothing to do with all the stabbings, the rapings and the murders. Nothing to do with just yesterday a schoolboy being stabbed at a central railway station in London. All the children from school going home, all the people from the offices going home. And there's a gang of black school children stabbing one another. One of them dies, bleeding to death on the railway floor. And yet, while that's going on, we've got official proclamations coming out from the government to the judges saying that they mustn't punish these people for this. I don't know what the world's got, what the world's coming to, Matt. Something's going to have to be done about this. Something really is going to, before we have war on the streets, I think.
Well, I mean, what do you do in a society? I mean, for instance, just yesterday in Baltimore, there were gangs of black youths that were rampaging through Baltimore that were rioting. I believe there were something like 20 arrests that were done. And they were specifically, some of the video that was released from people on the street, they were specifically targeting whites. And of course, just, you know, fighting one another and doing all sorts of things. They apparently had organized this online and, of course, met up and are committing, you know, what essentially are violent crimes driven by race. And you just think about that on the reverse. If I got 100 of our TWP members to go to a city and just start beating up random black people on the street because of the color of their skin, there would be federal agents and helicopters coming down right now on all of us to whisk us away and send us to prison. Just as, of course, we talked about last week, the case in Georgia that happened when, you know, with the Confederate flag convoy, where not a single person was injured, but because, you know, a word might have been used, then you've got a mother and a father taken away from their kids for two decades. It's absolutely horrific. But I mean, just think about that on the reverse, that, you know, if what happened in Baltimore, if a white gang of youths had gone and done that, start beating on blacks, that literally would be a federal case. You would be in jail until you were old enough to collect Social Security. That's just a fact. So, I mean, we already have a two-tiered legal system. I mean, you know, when you bring that up, you're 100% correct, but we already, in effect, have it. Throughout all of Western Europe, I remember the case in Europe last year where there was a young schoolboy that stood up. One of the white girls, was being picked on or sexually harassed, and he got stabbed to death. And these sorts of cases happen all the time in Europe and America, the clear double standards. Of course, last year we saw, you know, in Alabama, the case of a white man who had posted, you know, he's a high school student, had posted a thing about Blue Lives Matter, and he was hunted down and beaten into the hospital, and the guy nearly died. And you just look at this double-tiered legal system. Of course, what happened in Chicago, if the idea that if four whites had kidnapped a mentally handicapped black man and scalped him on live stream, then there would cities be on fire right now. But of course, there's a double-tiered legal system. There's a double-tiered perception when it comes to the media, because the media has a specific agenda. And this system is already, there is no form of justice in Western Europe, in the United States. There is very little justice actually being done within the justice system. And the idea that criminals are going to be getting lesser sentences because of racism, well, that ties into what I was talking about with Dr. Johnson, about the fact that if a juror now, you know, the jury room is supposed to be the most private of spaces where you can speak your mind and you try and hash out the truth and make decisions. And if you say something that is against political correctness, then the idea that a conviction of a murderer or a rapist or something like that could be thrown out because you make a comment about, you know, maybe their ethnicity or something like that. I just wonder what would happen in the reverse if someone says something against whites. I wonder if those convictions would be rendered null and void. I doubt it, but I think we know what this system looks like. Now, I want to give a piece of good news. This is not yet on a media outlet, but it's being reported in a lot of the different chans and online. So take it with a grain of salt, but I'm hopeful. Based Stickman, that of course we all saw, Mr. Kyle Chapman, who was an alt-right guy who was out there in Berkeley, California. And of course, when the radical leftists attacked, he was wearing a respirator because of all the pepper spray that was there. And he had a flagpole where his flag had already been taken and burned. So these are the sorts of people. Destruction of property is nothing new for them. These leftists are always violent. So they attack after having maced elderly people and all sorts of things. His flagpole that didn't have the flag on it because they had already destroyed it, of course. So when the media is reporting he had a stick, no, it was a flagpole that was actually physically taken and had his property destroyed. He fought back and clocked a couple of the leftists, and then he was arrested and charged with 5 felonies, 6 crimes total, but 5 felonies. And it's being reported right now by some people that were in the courtroom that it looks like those charges have been dropped. There was a huge amount of support for Mr. Chapman online with the alt-right, white nationalists, but also just normal Trump supporters donating money because it was expected that he would be facing a very, very long fight, obviously. I mean, 5 felonies, he could be in jail for a very, very long time. So he raised a war chest to actually be able to have a lawyer, to be able to fight against this. And this miscarriage of justice, at least for now, looks like it's been dropped. The charges against him have been dropped. And what this could mean, they could try and charge him in the future after people, after the media fervor kind of drops away. This is still a possibility. We can't declare victory yet. But it is an exciting thing to think that, the response on the right, that we have a right to defend ourselves, We have a right to defend others who are at events, and these leftists are thugs, and we can come together to be able to raise money and support for comrades that are arrested. You know, he's not a white nationalist, but he was fighting the left. So, three cheers to him. And it looks like an exciting thing where a tiny bit of justice, a tiny glimmer of justice, might be having in Berkeley, California, of all godforsaken places.
Well, that's good news. That's very good news. But just where you said there that these might be dropped, but there might be charges in the future. This is the thing with this campaign against anti-Semitism group. I mean, the charges were dropped against Jez, but now this campaign against anti-Semitism have pressured them to look at charging him again. And with Alison Chablow, her charges were dropped, and then this campaign against anti-Semitism took out a private prosecution against her. And she's going to be in court again next month, I believe. So we'll also have to cover that. Now, where you were talking there about the juries, what you mentioned yesterday with Dr. Johnson about these juries and how they're not going to be private any longer, and the lawyers can go through them looking to see if there's any evidence of any discrimination. Well, at least they will still have to find some evidence of discrimination. This new guideline that's been issued to the judges in Britain, they don't even have to find any discrimination. Just the fact that it's a black person stood in the dock means that he has to be given a softer sentence, because it will be automatically assumed that he's come across discrimination in his life. And what is discrimination? Discrimination is telling the difference between one thing and another. The first thing we do is learn to discriminate between what is good and evil, what is good for us and what is evil for us. And when we learn that Negroes are not to be trusted, Negroes commit crimes, we are obviously not going to put ourselves in a position where Negroes can commit crimes or do anything to hurt us. But to do that means you have discriminated against that Negro. It's an absolute nonsense, this whole idea of discrimination being wrong, discrimination being bad. I mean, we discriminate between whether we want to drink milk that hasn't gone off and milk that has gone off with our noses. We can tell whether it's gone off or not. And we discriminate between the two, between what is good and what is bad. People discriminate against people whether they think they can trust them if they employ them in their firm, or whether they think they can't trust them. And all of that is discrimination. All of that is positive. Yet for some reason, some unknown reason, to discriminate against Negroes when you've had bad experiences with them, that's not on. That's a crime. That means if anyone's discriminated against a Negro, that he's going to get a softer sentence. And so we have this two-tier system. And to go back to what you're saying there, Matt, I mean, you can reel off all these crimes that these Negroes have been involved in just over the last week. But we never used to have Negroes in Britain until 70 years ago. And we could see the problems that they were causing over in America. We could see what happened with Martin Luther King and all the riots that were happening, all the troubles that happened, and before that, all the lynchings for the rapes and the murders that the Negroes were carrying out. We could see all the problems that were happening over there. And yet still, our politicians invited them all to come into Britain. And once they came into Britain, they housed them, fed them, treated them as if they were British people. And I just cannot understand why these people that did that have not been held up in court for doing so. Excuse me, I must just cough.
Oh, no problem. Well, you know, I mean, things are so insane in our society, Sven. I want to close out with just one last piece of news. I have a friend of mine who's an Afrikaner, who's a nationalist in South Africa, and he was covering at his campus. They were having a slut walk today. So if you just want to think about how things are so insane amongst the left, we know that South Africa, the murders of whites, of the Afrikaners and the Boers, is genocide. That even international communities have admitted this is genocide. The attacks on whites are so out of control, they can't even hide the fact that they are committing genocide. That you look at the seizures of land, the seizures of property, the discrimination against whites, absolutely out of control. And what does the campus left do? The campus left that supposedly cares so much about taking care of people and the working class and things like that. Well, they decided to have a bunch of white girls. I was looking at the video that he filmed, walking, you know, almost naked down the street on their campus, talking about they should be able to, slut culture should not be demonized. It's okay to be a slut. And that's the focus of our campus left. Of course, this is International Women's Day. Of course, that was a communist holiday. We should, as nationalists, honor our women every single day. But the idea on International Women's Day, there is a slut walk being held in South Africa where there is a horrific rape epidemic, not just of whites, but within the black community. Ever since apartheid ended and the legal system has essentially fallen apart, rapes of whites and blacks, men and women, and murders absolutely out of control. The crime wave is absolutely out of control. The society is falling apart, but that's how they honor women, not actually fighting against the risk of them being killed or their families being killed or being racially discriminated against or all the other problems that you're facing, even in a non-racial context. In South Africa, of all places, they're holding slut walks to be able to encourage more degeneracy and more promiscuous behavior. So, Sven, I'll turn it over to you just for a last thought and on that and a final thought to close out the day.
Well, I just think those slut-walking women, they got no respect for men. They couldn't give a damn about the man's feelings. The fact that men have, 20 times as much testosterone as women do. Men, we see something attractive, that's it. Our minds can't think about anything else. They got no concern whatsoever for what that does to the man, them walking around half naked. No concern whatsoever, and yet they think they should be just allowed to do that just because they're women. The same as blacks think that blacks should be allowed to just commit crimes just because they're black. Just to go back to what I was talking about before, I had a coughing fit. I just want to see these people that allowed all these blacks into our countries face justice, because all the blood that's happened since then, all the blood that's been caused by racial friction is on their hands, and they cannot say that they didn't know that this was going to happen, because we'd watched it all happen over there in America at the time, and people like Enoch Powell were warning against it. Enoch Powell and the British Union of Fascists and all the early British nationalists were warning about what would happen if they brought all these other races into Britain, and now we are seeing it all. And yet these politicians that did this, none of them have been held to account, and the politicians that are in power now are still doing exactly the same thing. So that's my final thought. We need to get them tried and hanged.
We need to be fighting for our children, for our people, and we are going to win. You know, we're the enemy is more hysterical. They're out of control. But you know what? We're on the side of truth. So, Sven, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much to my listeners. And I'll look forward to being back tomorrow with another edition of The Daily Traditionalist. And we've got another show possibly in the next couple weeks that will be joining us. So much content here in Radio Aryan. Tune in. Keep listening. And I'll look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow. Have a great day and hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioAryan.com.